step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Welcome in, Lineup Logic fans, to week 12 of the Fantasy Fade Route. It is Thanksgiving week. This is your intrepid host, Kwafo Adakwa, a.k.a. Spartanzilla. I am joined this week by the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Mike Alexander, otherwise known as Rota Juan. Mike, what's up this week? How's it going on?
Good, man. Got back from a little vacation last week. Had to recharge the batteries, unplug for a minute. Felt good, but got back in time for the epic Monday night game. So I'm running on fumes, but we'll get through it.
We all are about this time of the season. So yeah. I know we had a week off, a hiatus, because we were both oddly enough, all three of us were in the state of Florida last week, but it's in different parts of the state. But we're back at it. Week 12, there shouldn't be any interruptions from here on to the end of the season, and we'll take you guys through divisional playoff rounds. We're gonna ride this one out with you because we appreciate the feedback we're getting from the podcast and appreciate the fact that people missed it in their lives last week, so that's a good thing. So, yep. But we did, as a community, as Lineup Logic community, I did know for the live stream, the one and only Podfather was back with Fern, so that was a gift for folks as well. So
yeah, keep your ears to the ground. There's talk that he may try to do a little NBA content this week while he's on vacation. So
what?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, there you have it. Little breaking news for those listening to football. So, anyway, as you all know, by now, 13 weeks into this, the best place to get in touch with all of us, that are providing you content, that are helping you through your lineup builds, is through our Slack channel, and you can access that by becoming a patron through patreon.com/lineuplogic. $10 a month. We've talked about it on all the podcasts. Gets you access to a whole plethora of tools and tricks and content and just a lot of goodness, if you will, from all of the folks who've come to enjoy listening to the podcast, and for those that are already in the community, we thank you so much for doing that. But again, $10 a month, patreon.com/lineuplogic. Join the group. All the cool kids are doing it, so you definitely want to get in.
And hey, if you're not going to become a patron, do us a solid. Give us a rating and a review on whatever platform you're listening on, because that goes a long way to generating more listens and more attention for us.
Yes, please. There's only so many family members and friends I can send this out to listen. So please, all of you out there, like, review, rate us on whatever platform you're listening to this.
It's part of the social contract. If you're going to listen to a pod and enjoy it on a regular basis, give it a rating
and a review, please. Thank you, and hopefully good ones. All right. We'll get into game by game. This is a special week. It's one of my favorite weeks of the NFL season. Obviously, you know, it's great to watch these games with family and friends. And the slates are split up on the various sites and whatnot. So it's a fun week in that regard. Before we go into week 12, just one quick takeaway, Mike, if you want to give us from the week that was in the National Football League.
Did anything exciting happen? I didn't.
I don't know. I don't know.
Rams Chiefs, man. Smashed. Smashed all expectations. In my opinion, greatest regular season football game ever played. It's the first time.
Wow! No hyperbole on a Tuesday night. Yeah.
First time two teams both scored 50+ points. 105 total points. The line was the Rams by 3. After all those points, they still managed to only win by 3 and push, which is, you know, it's just great because you don't want any betting side to lose that game, other than the under. You know, Vegas took a bath on it. It's just great all around. You saw so many different facets of the game. Offense, you know, people criticize the defense a good bit, but you and I were talking, and there was defense in that game. There was touchdowns off of defensive turnovers, interceptions, fumbles, crazy interceptions. Just all around greatness.
Most entertaining game I've seen in years. That is my also takeaway. That Rams Chiefs. If I can get a Christmas gift in the NFL things, can we get that in the Super Bowl, please, so we can have an exciting... Although last year's Super Bowl with your Philadelphia squad was actually pretty entertaining as well, but this was... If this is the way football is going to be played going forward, sign me up, because that was actually enjoyable to watch. Yes, a little bit more penalties than I would like. The refs, even though they were an all-star crew... A lot of penalties in that, but...
But the one thing I heard somebody saying about the Chiefs is they got penalized like that. You know how they did pretty heavily. They gave up 21 points off of turnovers, and they still only lost by 3 points. If they can clean that up, that's why week in and week out they're trouble. But I think it was good. It was good for Mahomes to make some of those mistakes because he hasn't had a game like that where he turned the ball over, got a little careless. Everything's just been working out for him whenever he goes downfield aggressively. So that'll help him in the long run, and I think as a team, that'll help the Chiefs kind of galvanize.
And it seemed like he was forcing it, especially late in the fourth. I know he had to. Yeah. He was trying to make a play on that last interception, the Hill downfield, and it was like – you're throwing in a double coverage, buddy. So anyway, fun game. That was a fun way to end the week. The Sunday night game was fun too, as well, with Minnesota and Chicago. So anyway, all right. So let's not look backwards. We're a forward-looking podcast. We want to move onward and upwards, and let's go game by game like we do. We'll give you a fade. We'll give you a lock. We'll give you a sleeper. And we'll break it up, starting with the Thanksgiving Day games, and then we'll get into the slate for the Sunday games. And then coming off last night's game, it's almost like you shouldn't even play any more Monday night games, but we will dive into that Monday night game to round out our podcast. And then we will give you a fade of the week, a lock of the week, and a sleeper of the week. So you ready to do this?
Let's do it.
All right. So we start, as you do on Thanksgiving Day, in the Motor City, near and dear to my heart, the Detroit Lions will be on national TV and hopefully not get humiliated by the first-place Chicago Bears. The over-under sitting right now, Vegas has it at 44.5. Those fighting Chicago Bears are three-point favorites. Mike, on both sides of the ball here, if you got to pick a fade, which way are you going?
Yeah, nothing like watching the Lions lose on Thanksgiving. It's a great tradition.
It's American tradition.
start off your Thanksgiving morning, you know, get back from playing a little football yourself, perhaps, and take a look at the scores. That Lions are losing already. But
we could have a therapy session on this podcast about how many years. I'm 40 years old for our listeners. I've seen 35 Thanksgiving Day games, obviously featuring the Lions. There's maybe been, and we had Barry Sanders and we had Calvin Johnson. There's maybe been, I don't know, five that are memorable where you're like, that was fun. That made my Thanksgiving exciting. Other than that, the Lions on national TV. Yeah.
It's such a gift to get that, you know, that your the team you have a rooting interest in gets to play every year on Thanksgiving.
Right.
It's such a curse that they just lose so many of them. but getting into a fade. So, you know, no Kerryon Johnson here for the Lions.
Right.
You might be tempted to pick up LeGarrette Blount. I think he's going to get plenty of run, but it's just not there. Dude's too old. He's got like 20 carries in the last couple games here and 16 total yards. It's not going to happen against this Bears defense.
Right.
Maybe he vultures a touchdown. There's always the possibility he vultures two touchdowns, but I'm not going to bet on that.
All right. So Blount is your fade. For me, my lock is four down the field. That is a Lions fight song. I'm going with Kenny Galladay. He made an unbelievable catch on Sunday against the Panthers. With Golden Tate in your part of the woods there with the Eagles, with Marvin Jones questionable with the knee, it sounds like he's probably going to be out this one and maybe even the next one. So he's out for a while. It's sort of a mass unit. I mean, targets galore are available for Galladay. I know they have really moved to more of a run based offense. Kerryon obviously being out hurts a lot. But for me, Galladay, I mean, what's his floor in this? You know, five catches for 70 yards with an upside of maybe two touchdowns and 130 yards, even against the Bears defense, because there's nowhere else to go. I mean, really. So he's my lock this week. What about your sleeper, Mike?
I'm kind of split here. I mean, the problem with the Bears is you can't really get a good feel for where they're going week to week. They've got a lot of variation in their game plan. They've got weapons at every level. You know, Trubisky's kind of the one constant at this point, but he's a little banged up, and even then he's playing over his abilities. So I'm going to stick with the Lions. A guy caught a lot of balls last week that's filling in for Golden Tate, Bruce Ellington. He's working that slot role. He was really good with Houston before getting hurt in that slot role. He's been around for a little while. You know, you just got a really nice PPR floor if you're on DraftKings or any other PPR site. With not much to go on in the receiving game, he's going to have to draw targets and, you know, gives you, like I said, nice floor. Would love to say Jordan Howard of the Bears, but it's just, it's like there's been two, three games this year where they've been up. It should have been a Howard smash spot, and he just still gets like 50% of the usage. So, you know.
Yeah, I've given up on Howard. In fact, for me, he was a fade just because I've waited it out. I've waited with him a season long. I thought it would be something for him, but it's just not materializing. They use Cohen.
That's when Jordan Howard gets you.
He comes
across with a 200 for two and breaks everything. But
if that happens on Thursday, playing that slate, I'll live with that because I don't see it for him. So, all right, let's move down to one of your favorite teams, the Dallas Cowboys. Also the Thanksgiving Day staple for many years. They're hosting their bitter rival in the Washington Redskins. The over-under is 40.5, and the Cowboys are 7.5-point favorites. Looking at these two teams that I know you're familiar with, being an NFC East guy, who are you fading?
Fade for me is going to be Dak Prescott. He's come together recently. I think this Washington defense is just too good for him to continue that success. He's done it against a little bit of a weaker stretch, including my Eagles. Colt McCoy might be a guy that people could also get a little bit carried away with. I could see that team rallying around him a little bit, but the abilities are fairly minimal for Colt McCoy. He has come out of nowhere a couple times. He's got a little bit of that Fitz magic in him where, you know, that first start or coming in, filling in, he manages to just kind of, you know, go balls out. Threw a touchdown to Jordan Reed, so who knows. But, yeah, the quarterbacks are probably not what you want to look for here. And by the way, Dallas by 7 is a huge number, I think.
That line will move.
I would think. And most of that's probably coming from Colt McCoy being the backup quarterback. But I mean, Alex Smith was playing garbage football anyway. So, you know, I don't think there's I would think the line should have moved maybe a point down to Colt McCoy. So I think Dallas by 4 is a better line here. I love the Washington side.
Yeah, if you're so inclined to make those sort of wagers. So for me, the lock, and he might be lock of the week, but we'll wait. We want you to listen all the way to the end. But Zeke Elliott, I mean, he's going to eat in this matchup. Washington's defense, you know, especially on the road, sort of middling, average defense to me. Zeke, you know, the target share in the passing game, obviously, you know, he's a 20 carry plus kind of back for them. It's a game they need to win. It's a game both teams need to win because they still have designs on winning the division. So give me Zeke Elliott. I'm looking on FanDuel's price is 8,700. That's kind of lock button for me at the running back spot. And then as a sleeper in this matchup, also staying with the Cowboys, you know, obviously Amari Cooper, they went out and spent the number one pick, first round pick to get him. So, he's secure kind of in the offense. I know you're fading Mr. Prescott, but I kind of like as a sleeper in this matchup, Michael Gallup, very low price, $4,900 on FanDuel. He's had some personal stuff happen in his life in the last couple of days, some very sad stuff going on with his family. I think this is the kind of game, national TV, I could see him, you know, exceeding value, you know, grabbing, you know, maybe 4 or 5 balls, maybe getting in the end zone. So I like Michael Gallup. He's got a lot of ability, and this may be the time for him to break out.
Yeah, immense respect for him getting back on the football.
Totally. I don't think I could do it, given, you know, if that situation happened to me. So.
Yeah. And then you have another sleeper just to throw out, Jordan Reed. The Cowboys are going to be missing Sean Lee. So covering tight ends can be a challenge for them at times without Lee.
Well, you think about Vander Esch? You think, I mean, he's getting all the hype as the new Sean Lee.
He's fine. He's not bad, but, from an X's and O's standpoint, Sean Lee's just irreplaceable, for this season. And Vander Esch had the interception, but it was kind of a lucky interception. So,
yeah. Okay. All right. So we wrap up the Dallas game, and we move to the Bayou to close out Thanksgiving Day. And that matchup will be another divisional matchup. It's the NFC South this time. The Atlanta Falcons travel to the hottest team in football, the New Orleans Saints. The over-under in this matchup is almost 60. It's 59.5 right now. And the Saints, believe it or not, right now, I've got them as 13-point favorites in the Dome. So, Mike, this should be an offensive matchup. Where do you look to fade on this package of these two games, or these two teams?
I think I'd fade Tevin Coleman fairly easily. The Saints don't give up a lot to running backs, at least on the ground. I think if Tevin Coleman does score a touchdown, it would probably be through the air. They don't mind targeting their backs down there in the red zone. But that's a hard thing to, most running backs are only going to catch 1 or 2 touchdowns in a season. So I'm okay with fading TC.
All right. For me, the lock of all locks, your MVP player at the position and probably for the league overall right now, one Drew Brees is a lock button for me with the way, you could go maybe Kamara here or Ingram because it's the Falcons and we know there's 11 weeks of film out there of what they do with the running backs in the passing game. But for me, it's Drew Brees. 300 yards is the floor for him. And so, and he's just spreading the wealth. It was just looking like it was just Michael Thomas in the passing game and then some of the backs. But then, obviously Traquan Smith comes on in that last beatdown of the Eagles. Sorry, yeah. I want to let that linger for a little bit. And then, but Drew Brees is the guy for me to lock it up with. Who's your sleeper in this one?
Yeah, luckily I didn't have to sit through that one on our way to the airport.
You were sipping Mai Tai somewhere,
In Florida. Got to the airport, got to the gate, and you saw the game. I think it was 38-7 or 31-7, something like that. At that point, I was like, didn't miss much then, did I?
Watching a movie on the plane.
So Tre'Quan Smith, as you mentioned, blew up big time. Having a knee issue this week, but if he's good to go, we've said it all year, the Ted Ginn rule. If the Saints are at home and favored by 57 or more, or the total's 57 or more, you use Ted Ginn. And Tre'Quan Smith is the new Ted Ginn, an even better Ted Ginn. So right. If he's going to go, you got to get him out there. And as far as the locks go, I think you're right on Breeze. But Kamara, too, he shredded the Falcons when they played earlier this year, big time. Ingram's back. He may have limited touchdown upside as far as, multi-touchdown game. But I can't see Kamara not just having a huge day as well.
If you're playing the Thanksgiving Day slate, I don't have a problem. If all those three are on the slate, I don't have a problem playing both running backs. I think I did that in a couple lineups last week because production is there, playing both the New Orleans backs. So, all right, so that's Thanksgiving Day. We'll pause for a second, and we'll move on to the Sunday afternoon matchups, and we'll start with another divisional matchup. This is the Cleveland Browns going to take on the Cincinnati Bengals. The over-under in this game, 47.5, and Cincinnati are 3-point favorites. So there's got to be a lot to fade in this matchup. So find this one, Mike.
Yeah, this is, such a weird kind of matchup. It's a division rival in-state. The Bengals tend to get the better of this rivalry, but, that's maybe a thing of the past with Cleveland turning a corner. Picking a fade here is a little bit tough, though, because it's like both teams can let you down at any different point, both offensively and defensively. So anybody could have a good game, anybody could have a bad game. If I was going to fade someone, though, I would pick Andy Dalton. He's kind of played over his head this season. The Browns, it seems like they're probably a better bet to beat through your rushing attack than your passing attack. Yeah, there's reports that AJ Green is going to try to go, missing only 1 week. I think that's a pretty quick turnaround for him. He might be out there as more of a decoy. Who knows? Maybe he'll ball out. But, I don't love Andy Dalton's prospects here.
Yeah, and they're going to have to figure out at the end of the season where they go at that position, I think, in Cincinnati. It's probably time for a complete reboot for that whole team. So
you're right, but they're probably going to either continue with the coaching staff they have or they're going to hand the reins to Hugh.
What was I thinking? It's Cincinnati. Yeah.
It'll be in for more disaster.
There's certain teams in this league that just never figure it out. So for me, a lock in this matchup, I like either of the running backs on either side of the ball, the primary ball carriers, Nick Chubb or Joe Mixon. Mm-hmm. If you twist my arm, I'll say Joe Mixon. I've got a lot of shares of him in season-long matchups. He's definitely emerged this season in the second year as the man in Cincinnati. His price is very affordable on FanDuel at $7,300. Nick Chubb is also pretty affordable at $7,500.
Really like
Yep. So I'm fine with either one of those, but if I got to be forced, I'll just pick Mixon. He's at home. Obviously, if AJ Green can't go, changes up the offense, substantially. So I like Mixon as my lock. If I've got to get a sleeper in this matchup, you could say Duke Johnson, but I will go with David Njoku. I think Cleveland, I think they were on bye last week, if I'm not mistaken, and he came off kind of a slow matchup in his week 10 matchup, that would be. And so he's a guy, tight end is such a weak position overall this year, and so he's a guy for me that I think you can use. He's only 5,100 on FanDuel. He's developing something with Mayfield, and so this is a game where I think he could shine against kind of a porous defense in Cincinnati.
Yeah, and he'd gotten a little banged up, so the bye week should have helped.
Yep, exactly. All right, so let's move on to a game that has a surprisingly high total, and that's San Francisco traveling to Tampa to take on the Bucs. The over-under is 55, and Tampa is a four-point favorite. So fading in this matchup is probably advisable. So I'm sure you can find someone that you can fade from either side of this line. Yeah.
It's probably got to be on the Tampa Bay side, and it's probably got to be one of their receivers. I think, you know, D-Jax is with Jameis in there, a pretty bad idea, but that's, you know, kind of a well-known thing at this point. Even Godwin, you know, he's a boom or bust guy. And then you got Evans. He's kind of got the same problem as D-Jax when Winston is in there. It's he either catches a long touchdown or he doesn't score well. So you can take your pick of the Bucs wide receivers to fade.
Okay. For me, I think if I'm fading in this matchup too, I might fade Nick Mullins at quarterback from San Francisco. I mean, a lot of people, you know, he played okay against the Giants. The week prior to that, he was, you know, red hot. Some people might want to get cute, especially he's only 6,000. And if he, you know, if he's set to go, and I think on the occasions that he is going to be the starter, I don't see any reason to play Nick Mullins on this Sunday slate.
Yeah, given other options, it's hard to go there. I mean, there's the whole Buccaneers secondary can turn anybody into a viable option, but you might be getting too cute.
Yeah. So for me, I know you said kind of take your pick of receivers, and I don't necessarily disagree with all of that with the Bucs, but Mike Evans kind of on the road last week up in New Jersey. Played really well, even with Winston in there. There's offense to be had. We know Tampa just likes to put the ball up in the air. 55 is in the high number. I'm gonna roll the dice on Mike Evans being the receiver and locking him up because I don't like, obviously, the Tampa backfield.
Yeah.
I don't like the receiving core in San Francisco. So I think I'm going to go with Mike Evans if I got to pick and just – hope that he's the one, and the roulette wheel stops on his number out of the Tampa Bay passing game.
Yeah, I mean, somebody's got to beat Richard Sherman. it's like he's had a solid year,
right?
But you know, is he at this point able to cover Mike Evans if Jameis is able to get him the ball?
Well, if he's got some pistachios, he's probably fine. He's fine to cover Mike. So
yeah.
So, what about sleeper in this matchup?
I actually kind of like Jameis a little bit. It's risky, but we've seen Buccaneers QB. He's got a great shot at 300 plus yards and many touchdowns. And
right.
I think with the Niners, they've got some offensive capability. Obviously, Kyle Shanahan's a very solid play caller. I think they score enough points to force things here. So I could see Jameis getting loose for a few.
And he's playing for his job at this point. I think Tampa's going to reevaluate their situation as well at the end of the year. So all of these games matter as it relates to his future in Tampa. So.
And it's not sneaky, but Cameron Brait.
With O.J. Howard out and, for the rest of the year. So, you know, one other sleeper, San Francisco, Matt Breida, 6,400. You got to get some if we're projecting 55 in terms of Vegas, you got to get some point somewhere. So I like Matt Breida in this matchup. As a sleeper play, a 6,400 is definitely a fair price for him. So we spent way too much time on that game, but we're gonna speed it up here because we have again, my folks in Buffalo. Please, I'm probably not going to be allowed to go to upstate New York anytime soon because I seem like I constantly bash the Bills. But
you're not missing anything in Buffalo.
Ouch. That was not me. That was Mike. Send all those nasty grams to at @_Juan. But the Jags and Bills are playing in a matchup that makes us all happy that we can you have red zone or the package here. The over under is a putrid 37.5. Jacksonville is a 3-point favorite. They are super disappointing this year. It should be really easy to figure out where to fade in this matchup.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you can fade Bortles, you can fade a lot of the Jacksonville passing game, the Buffalo wide receivers as well.
Yeah, it's just really, you know, for both teams made the playoffs last year, and so this is really bad. For me, I'm going to lock Leonard Fournette. I think it's going to be a slugfest, you know, 20-14 type game. Fournette, they're going to run him into the ground, even though he's coming off the hamstring and spent, you know, more than half the season on the shelf. Yeah. I think he's secure. I mean, he's 8,100 on FanDuel on a more touchdown-dependent site. I think he finds the end zone in this matchup because they got to put some points on the board. So
He's looked good since coming back. So
yeah, and that's kind of injury that it just needed to rest, right? I mean, you know, it's frustrating for me, like an owner who had him in season long. You had to kind of just wait and stick him on your IR and just wait. But he's paying off dividends, and if you were able to weather the storm from a season long perspective, you know, depending on his health, you're in good space with Fournette. So he's my lock. My sleeper, if I don't go to sleep watching this game, it's probably, I don't know, D.D. Westbrook. He's probably about due. Again, the passing game, nothing to write home about with Jacksonville. But I like him over, you know, the other options. Like, I don't really like LeSean McCoy in this one. There's no other real passing threat for me for Jacksonville. And you mentioned the disgusting platter at quarterback for both sides of this ball. So, yeah, let's move on. That game is, boy, that's what we, you know, to be an NFL fan, you have to endure those games to get games like we had on Monday night.
Right.
So, all right. Oakland travels to Baltimore in the next matchup. 43.5 is the over-under. The Ravens are 11.5-point favorites. I've got a specific fade in this one, but let's see where you go with this, Mike.
I would fade the Crabtree revenge narrative. It's pretty clear Crabtree's on the downside of his career. Not much downfield ability as a wide receiver. And Lamar Jackson probably going a quarterback. That's going to hamper the passing game altogether.
I wish you would have told me to fade Crabtree back in August because, like, I wouldn't have drafted him in a couple of leagues that I'm obviously not doing well when he's on my team. So I'm fading Lamar Jackson. There's a lot of hype around him. He carried the ball 27 times at the quarterback position. That's just nuts. I mean, they're trying to kill this kid already. And so there may be some hype around him, you know, in terms of his rushing ability. He's already shot up to 7,400 on FanDuel. In the words of Randy Jackson, it's a no for me, dog. Like, I can't use Lamar Jackson.
At that price, other options. Oh. But, you know, you're not going to get away with that style of play for very long in the NFL.
No. Unless you're
him getting away
Cam
with it
Newton
for one more week, though, against the Raiders. That defense has zero playmakers.
Understood. They traded them all. The one playmaker they had, takes residence not too far from me in the Windy City. So, for me, Lamar Jackson, I think he's about a half year away, and we may see him in the Deshaun Watson type mold, you know, by this time next year, you know, I think is the year. But for this week, I'm fading him. I'm locking, and we talked about this pre-show. This is a tough one to lock because I don't really like this game at all. But for me, I think I'm going to lock Jared Cook. Tight end is so thin as a position. You know, Derek Carr and him have connected pretty well most of the season. He's 5,700 on FanDuel. You know, he has a low floor. I mean, he can go out and get you one or two catches, but he could also get you, you know, five, maybe six balls, maybe 70 yards and a touchdown. So I'm going to lock him because, again, not real fond of the Baltimore offense and not real fond of a lot of the Oakland offensive pieces as well. What about sleeper in this matchup?
I think you have to go back to Gus Edwards here. It's not a great play given that he came out of nowhere. I think he had like 10 carries on the season or something prior to Sunday. You know, Alex Collins still the starter, but they clearly had some, you know, specific game plan for Edwards to be involved. And you know, he showed that he served more carries. I could see it being a 50-50 split, and if he's effective again, the Raiders are a team you can beat on the ground.
And he's 5,300, so he allows you to get a bunch of other plays on that abbreviated Sunday slate. So he's risky, my sleeper though. As well.
Risky.
Yeah. It's risky, but no guts, no glory, man. No yeah. guts, no glory on some of the stuff. So, all right, we'll move on to a game that'll be very interesting because both of these teams are fighting for playoff position and need to even get in the playoffs. You have the Seattle Seahawks traveling to Carolina to take on the Panthers and the ridiculous Ron Rivera. 47 is the over-under. Carolina, three-point favorites. If you can't fade the coach in here, who are you fading in this matchup?
I actually have no problem with them going for it because a win in overtime is only about a 50-50 proposition. A two-point conversion is about a 50-50 proposition. He just decided to move up his you know, opportunity to right then. So it's actually not a bad call. The play itself, you know, that left something to be desired. A lot of people saying you got Cam Newton, you know, you're 2 yards away. Why are you not giving him an option to at least, you know, get in there? As far as fades go, probably would lean towards fading Chris Carson. I know he's having a pretty solid year, but the Panthers aren't an easy team to run on, given you know their linebacking core, and the Seahawks being on the road here. I don't like this game at all, really. I think it's going to be kind of an ugly affair.
Yeah, I can see that playing out, and so that, I think, plays into my lock, and it is Mr. Cameron Newton. He of an average of 23 FanDuel points per week, and he's 8,600. But, you know, he can go out. This is the only thing with Cam. He can go out and give you some stink bombs or performance, but he usually figures out a way to make it up with some rushing yards. And, you know, he'll vulture a touchdown from on the back. So of all the production you can get on this in this game, I think Cam is my guy as a lock. You know, he's going to be probably one of the three or four quarterbacks in my player pool for the Sunday slate. What about us? Oh, so if I'm looking at a sleeper here, actually, along those lines for Cam's production, what about DJ Moore? I mean, he comes off the great game against the Lions. The talent is there. He was drafted for a reason where he was. Seattle secondary, obviously, there is no more Legion of Boom. So if I'm finding a sleeper in this, I like DJ Moore. You got a sleeper in this one?
Yeah, I think Moore's a fine sleeper. You know, the Seahawks are an above-average defense. That they just lost all the names. CMC is probably getting slept on a little bit, given that he didn't have a great week last week. But you know, he's got a receiving floor that allows him to really be played on any PPR site any given week.
Yeah, he's definitely someone you want to put in your player pool, given this matchup. So we'll move on. We'll move on to. Is it still? Well, it's MetLife Stadium. It's still always the Meadowlands to me. The Jets are hosting the New England Patriots, who come off the bye. The over under is 46. and the Patriots are 9.5-point favorites. There's some fadeable parts in this game. So, Mike, walk us through one of those pieces that may be fadeable in this matchup.
You know, it's really hard to pin down any part of the Jets passing game at this point. I think there's going to be some production on the Jets side. Yeah, it's just impossible, I think, to have any good read on which receiver is going to get any production. Jets passing game would be my fade.
Yeah, and that was mine too. I mean, I really think, you know, Sam Darnold, I heard, is going to try to give it a go. He's questionable now, but he's going to try to give it a go. I've got down Jets QB, so whoever's at QB is kind of like I think is probably a safe fade. To your point, there could be some production, and Nunwa's still there. Robbie Anderson's questionable. There could be some production, but there's even on that abbreviated Sunday slate, there's definitely other ways to go. So I think you're right on the mark in terms of fading the passing offense for the Jets. For me, I'm locking and not locking up, because I think he's been on the straight and narrow in New England, not locking him up, but we're going to lock Mr. Josh Gordon. He's, I think, on the precipice of really something big down the stretch here. He and Brady have got some things clicking, and especially, you know, pending the health of Mr. Gronkowski, Gordon soaks up some of those targets. It looks like Edelman's a little questionable as well. Josh Gordon is my guy as a lock in this game.
Yeah, I agree on that pretty strongly. He's been a little beat up too with the usage they've been giving him, and should have gotten rested up here. Playing through little stuff can just kind of affect your overall efficiency. And Josh Gordon, when he's 100%, is a scary proposition.
Yes, he is, and I think he's just about ready to ignite. So what about a sleeper in this matchup?
Because it's probably the only time you'll ever get to use it, I'm going to say Rob Gronkowski. I know people have been coming back to him when he was playing, like just saying, you know, he's the cheapest he's ever been, and getting burned on that. And, you know, maybe that's a mistake to do it again here, but I don't see any way he doesn't catch a touchdown in this game. It's, you know, the Pats, they don't take the foot off the pedal. They're going to beat up a really bad team here. This is that the Bills put 31 on this defense. So, the Patriots should be definitely in the 30s. Touchdowns to go around. I don't see how Gronk doesn't get one if he truly is healthy.
Yeah, if he's healthy, that's one of those price and force things. He's 6,900 on FanDuel. Yeah, that's a Black Friday price on Sunday right there. So,
yep.
I think I concur with that. All right, I want you to take a little bit of time with this next one. This is the New York Giants going to the City of Brotherly Love to take on the reeling Philadelphia Eagles. The over-under is 46. Your Eagles, Mike, are 6-point favorites, believe it or not. I'm going to let you walk with your fade in this matchup.
So I would fade Josh Adams. There's some talk that he's going to get, you know, some extra work in the running game. It's always going to be a rotation. Maybe he gets a touchdown. Maybe he doesn't. Don't see Josh Adams had a long touchdown last week, and he's getting talked about, and think, oh, this is going to be the Eagles running back. They will always have a 3-back rotation for whatever reason, even when they've had good backs. So don't get carried away there.
And his price has shot up too. It's 5,700 on FanDuel coming off that performance. So I think I might be with you. Although in season long, I did add him in a team or two because I felt like, you know, just go ahead and stash a guy like Josh Adams, because you never know. Maybe he doesn't merge. So
yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. For me, the lock of all locks, this is putting the easy button, is Saquon Barkley. The kid's probably going to be the rookie of the year at this point. You know, he's playing on a bad football team, which only enhances his lockability, if that's a word. You know, he's averaging 22 fantasy points per game on FanDuel. He's 9,000, so he's a little bit pricey, but I think his floor is 2x. So, you know, 18, 19 points, I think, is his floor in this matchup. Mm-hmm. With upside for maybe 25, 30 points on FanDuel. So, and then, you know, that much more on a site with a full point PPR like DraftKings. So, Saquon, pretty set it, forget it, lock for me. What about a sleeper in this matchup, Mike?
I'd be interested in Odell Beckham quite strongly.
Okay.
He's having, you know, not the best season, a lot of that having to do with his quarterback, but I think he's going to go off for two touchdowns here. He kills the Eagles. To quote a local beat writer here, Jimmy Kemsky, he had a pretty funny tweet. He said, the Eagles secondary, they all sound like names made up when you're playing Madden in franchise mode. You know,
that's a great line.
It's they're hurting. You know, they were thin coming out of the gate, I think, and then injuries haven't helped. So Odell should get loose even with Eli's diminished abilities.
Yeah, for me, a sleeper in this matchup. Boy, I was sad to see him go, and I think he was force fed the ball. Another game got out of hand last week. But he ended up having, I think, more targets than even Alshon Jeffrey, and it's Golden Tate. I think his role is defined. I think this is the week, you know, this is about the third week having him in the building. I think this is the week he does some things. He's 6,500 on FanDuel. I don't know what his DraftKings price is, but I like Mr. Tate, Showtime Tate there, to have a good game here against the Giants.
Yeah, there's been a little talk around here that, you know, it's been hard to incorporate him and this and that, and you know, the coaches are going to get questions about it this week now. I feel like they're going to probably want to make sure that he has a good game to get rid of that line of questioning.
Exactly. And so what better time to do that? And he's, you know, on DraftKings, to me it's a no-brainer at 4,800 on DraftKings, so... that does a lot of, you know, putting him in your lineup over there provides a lot of flexibility on the Sunday slate. So, all right, let's move on to another matchup. This is out west. This is the Arizona Cardinals going to Southern California to take on the Chargers, coming off a very perplexing loss. 44.5 is the over-under. Chargers are big favorites, 11.5-point favorites. Mike, you know, there's some options here. Which one of them rises to the level of fadeable for you?
I think it's going to be Phillip Rivers, and it's not a hard fade, but he's kind of gotten into this little bit of a rut where he's not getting a big yardage total. They want to use Melvin Gordon on the ground a lot. He's throwing two touchdowns almost every single game. Had a couple INTs last week, and so if you get a couple INTs there, that can take away from your overall total. So, you know, I think you got to be careful. The Cardinals also play a fairly slow pace, and their secondary is probably the stronger part of their defense. You know, that's shifting a little bit, but you know, that's a hard spot to beat them.
Okay, I could see that. For me, I'm locking up, and because he's not with us, Mr. Moschel, Melvin Gordon, probably from a production standpoint, the, you know, let's call it third best running back in the league, you know, behind maybe like you know, Zeke and Todd Gurley, or maybe, you know, he's in the top five. You know, you're splitting hairs up in that tier. Production secure, role secure. Austin Eckler hasn't really eaten into that. You mentioned Phillip Rivers and his passing game. Gordon is involved in that from some points as well. So against the Cardinals defense, or lack thereof, I like him. His price is high on a site like DraftKings. It's 8,600, but especially if you're playing just the 405 slate, you know. And I found myself kind of doing that a little bit, playing just those split slates on the Sunday. But I like Melvin Gordon a lot in this matchup. And then if I'm,
it's the place to beat them. To beat the Cards is exactly. The rushing attack.
Yep, and so it sets up very well in a favorable game script for Gordon. For me, the sleeper I have in this matchup is actually on the Arizona side of the ball. It's at the wide receiver position. It's Christian Kirk. He is a talented young player. He's learning from a future Hall of Famer and Larry Fitzgerald. The Chargers' defense is just a perplexing bunch. His price on DraftKings is very affordable. It's also 4,500, so he allows you a whole lot of flexibility if you play a guy like Christian Kirk. He has big playability, so for GPPs, he's definitely kind of a way to go. And so I like Christian Kirk in this matchup. Do you have a sleeper in this matchup as well, Mike?
Kirk's not a bad one. I can see Austin Eckler actually having an okay day if things are going well for the Chargers. But that's a little bit of a risky play there.
Yeah, for sure. So I'm going to move us on to the Heartland and the surging Indianapolis Colts and Frank Wright's bunch. They're hosting the Miami Dolphins. It's a big over-under, or sizable over-under at 51. The Colts are 10-point favorites, which I didn't think I would see that this season, but they're 10-point favorites. Should be some people to fade here, I would think. Give us one, Mike.
I mean, the Dolphins, really, there's nothing to like. that offense is atrocious.
Yeah.
I could see maybe somebody getting on a poor line of thinking with Tannehill being back and that they're going to have to chase the Colts points. We've seen multiple times this season the Dolphins go down multiple touchdowns and they don't up the pace. They don't come out of their shell. They're just, we're going to try and chip away at this and, it's not working. Tannehill's a fade along with any Dolphins wide receiver.
Yeah. And I'm also, I think Dolphins in general, cause like Frank Gore to me fade, even though he's, he gets a lot of work in the backfield. Kenyon Drake fade. I understand. Everyone with their narratives, but
yeah.
Go and put that one to sleep. I don't think Frank Gore does much of anything in this matchup. No. But if I'm looking at a lock, I know there's a lot of quarterback locks, but Andrew Luck, man, he has shown that he is back and he's healthy. He had a beautiful ball to T.Y. Hilton last week.
Yeah.
He's
three or more touchdowns in every game starting in week four.
Yeah, I mean he has money right now. He's only 6,400 on DK. He is definitely, if you're playing just the late slate, he's probably the quarterback to go with. He's 8,400 over on FanDuel, so not terrible price. A little bit pricier there. Probably more of a DraftKings play than a FanDuel play, but production's there. They're getting more balance in their offense. And again, he looks healthy. He's connecting with Hilton. to be on brand for this show, Eric Ebron did Eric Ebron things last week and was used as a freaking decoy. Punished all of us who've tried to put some faith in him this season. And I knew better. I've seen this guy's career, obviously. So I knew better.
Hey,
I know people in the Slack were like, oh, there's Ebron. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
They did try to run the Philly special with him and get him to throw a touchdown.
Yeah, and take his quarterback out. Andrew Luck is laying out for a dive to try to dive on an underthrown ball from Ebron. So it's like, no, what are you guys doing? So, and I know Jack Doyle is there. And, he's got a lot of snap count as well. Staying away from the tight ends for Indy, but definitely Andrew Luck is my lock in that game. And, where are you going sleeper wise? It's probably in the indie side, but which sleeper is in your crosshairs?
I would actually go Jack Doyle as a sleeper. We haven't seen him get back to his usual ways. It's just he's been back for 3 games now. He should be getting comfortable. They're at home. I'd like to see him getting 7-8 targets and catching 5-6 balls, scoring a touchdown.
All right. Not a bad pick. Not a bad pick. All right. Let's move on to the Mile High City. The Steelers, who are also surging in a good way, taking on the Broncos, who come off that very sneaky win. The over-under is 47. Pittsburgh, a 3-point road favorite. This one's a little bit harder, I think, but if you have someone that you're fading, Mike, let us know.
I'm going to fade Roethlisberger on the road against a defense that's, got some life to it. Shades of greatness past. We saw what can happen when Roethlisberger goes wrong, and he managed to go from, he was a negative points up until into the third quarter, I believe.
Right.
I mean, people were panicking.
Right.
And then, he manages to have a couple long touchdowns, a couple big gains, and bail his owners out. But on the road again, a really tough place to play in Denver. I think he could come off the rails.
Okay. If I'm looking at the lock button, so I see your Ben Roethlisberger point, but I still think Denver can be had a little bit, even though I think road Ben, it was bad road Ben last week, but I think it's a little different than it has been in years past. So with that, if he's going to move the ball through the air, they're done with the Le'Veon Bell situation. Connors, think back, and he's in the mix, although he didn't have the greatest of games last week. My lock is Antonio Brown. His price is a bit prohibitive. He's 8,500 on FanDuel, but I think, again, looking maybe in a cash game perspective, his floor is pretty solid. I still think Denver can be had. The Broncos are kind of the AFC team I follow the most, and I don't think they're really a good football team still. And so I like Antonio Brown to do Antonio Brown things in this matchup. If I'm looking at a sleeper in this game, it's also at the wide receiver spot, but on the Denver side of the ball, and it's Cortland Sutton. Demaryius Thomas obviously out of the mix now. Emmanuel Sanders, you know what you get on that side of the ball. But Cortland Sutton, nice target. His price is really, it's just calling me in. It's like a siren song. 5,400 on FanDuel. Again, he provides a lot of flexibility with what he could do for you, putting him in the lineup. So I like Cortland Sutton as my sleeper. I don't know if you have a sleeper in this matchup.
I like Sutton there. That's he's due for a big game.
Yeah, I think it's about time for him. So we'll move on to the Sunday night affair, and it is the reeling Green Bay Packers taking on the Minnesota Vikings, who come off a tough loss as well.
I can tell how much that pained you to say, Quaffa.
Well, both of these teams, right? I mean, they're in my division. I don't care what happens in this matchup. I'll just be honest, right? Yeah. I'm getting rid of my fantasy shares of the Aaron Rodgers of the world and those guys. So the over-under, though, for those that will watch, and I'll play Showdown, right? Who doesn't play Showdown? It's fun. It's a way to watch your Sunday night and finish out your week. But it's 47.5 over-under. Minnesota's 3.5-point favorites. If you can't fade Mike McCarthy, because we can't fade coaches, we talked about that earlier, who are you fading in this matchup?
It finally sounds like maybe the other shoe's going to fall for McCarthy, and he might get the axe at the end of the year. We'll see.
It's about time. He is wasting a generational talent in Aaron Rodgers, just wasting him.
Yep. So. But as far as a fade goes, I think Aaron Jones may be a little too popular, coming off of 2 pretty strong performances. The Vikings at home, you know, they're not the defense that we expected them to be, but I still don't want to target them with a running back, you know, as a road dog. So.
Okay. All right. For me, I'm going to fade Dalvin Cook. He's just not gotten it right. I know kind of the same situation like you had with Fournette. Like, he needed the time to rest and whatnot, and maybe this is a spot he goes off, but I'm not going to hedge my bet on that. I'd take Minnesota passing offense pieces, building, you know, a showdown lineup. So Dalvin Cook is a fade for me. My lock in this matchup, as I talked about those Minnesota passing pieces, is Stephon Diggs. Well, Adam Thielen obviously gotten off to this great start. He's probably playing at an all-pro level at this point. But Diggs is no slouch either. Had a really nice game up in Chicago, at home in the dome on the fast track. Against the suspect Packers secondary. I like Stephon Diggs as my lock in this matchup. What about a sleeper in this matchup, Mike?
Yeah, I like the Diggs call. Both of these passing games are fairly concentrated at this point. Yeah, you got Jimmy Graham with a broken thumb. He may or may not go. A lot of injuries to the secondary wide receivers of the Packers. So, you know, Thielen and Diggs, and then you got Adams as kind of the main guy in Green Bay. So, you know, looking at it from a showdown slate standpoint, I like as a sleeper play, just focusing entirely on the passing games, using Rodgers and Cousins, and, you know, getting what you can out of those main targets. So, you know, Cousins is probably the sleeper part of that. His play hasn't been quite there lately. A lot of that has to do with the offensive line. I don't know that Green Bay's pass rush is going to be that big of a problem, though. So I could see Cousins matching Rodgers in a bit of a shootout.
Yep, I like that. And if you see a shootout in the future in your crystal ball, then yeah, you definitely want to put both quarterbacks in there and don't play defense. A lot of people have, you know, started off the season playing those defenses on the showdown slate. No real need to play defenses. I mean, you may be able to get away with the Minnesota defense, but you probably find some other low-cost options, maybe like a Kyle Rudolph or something like that. Kickers, a way to fill your lineup on a showdown slate. So we'll move on to the final game of Week 12, and that's Tennessee traveling to another red-hot team in the Houston Texans. As of the time of this taping, I don't have a line on this, and I think it's the Mariota news is the issue. Yeah. And so, no line on this.
I hope Mariota goes, because the Texans are garbage. They're like, they're one of those teams that just, they're winning like 2-point games week after week. You know, bad coaching decisions on the other side are lucking them into wins. As soon as they face a real team, they're done. They're toast.
But they're going to luck their way into the playoffs at this rate.
Yeah, they're going to win the division.
Yeah.
Unless the Colts can make a push here. But if Mariota goes, and the indications are he's healthy, I think the Titans have enough to get it done. They're just a better coach team. Vrabel also knows that organization a little bit, so I'd love to see Mariota in there. But if he does not go, you got to fade pretty much all of the passing options of the Titans.
Fair fade. For me, I'm going to lock button Nuke Hopkins. Production has been insane during this streak for them. You know, they added Thomas to try to help. You still have Kiki QT there. And they're somehow pulling it off, and he's, you know, getting it done as well. So definitely in the showdown slate, I'm going to have Nuke Hopkins as a lock button for me. You know, of all of the pieces you could have from this game. So, and my sleeper in that matchup is actually Kiki QT. I know he was banged up, is coming off injury, but against Tennessee, we saw what Tennessee's about. I mean, they beat New England, but then they lay an egg last week, and a pox on your house, Deion Lewis, because I played you all over the place. I was like, oh, yeah, he's ready. He's going to, and he did nothing last week. Yeah. So, go away, Deion Lewis. Go away. I don't want any of that. So I'm gonna go Kiki QT. Do you have a sleeper in this one?
I like QT. You know, you're tempted to play Demaryius Thomas as a bit of a, you know, can he finally break out? And he's going to get Malcolm Butler. But it's hard. He's not off to the best start in his Texans tenure.
Okay. That does it for our game-by-game breakdowns. As we are wont to do, let's each go through a fade of the week, a lock of the week, and sleeper of the week. And let's do a little wrinkle on it because it is a basically two separate slates when you think about the Thanksgiving Day games and the main slate Sunday game. So why don't you do one fade from Turkey Day? I'll do one fade. We'll do one lock from Turkey Day. I'll do a lock from Turkey Day, and we'll do that for both the Thursday slate and then the main slate. So go ahead and with a fade from Thanksgiving Day games.
Thanksgiving Day fade. Probably Dak Prescott. I think people are going to see that 7-point favorite and think, oh, like this is going to be a good spot for the Cowboys, and I don't think that's the case.
All right, and then I think I'm going to fade Jordan Howard on Thanksgiving Day. And then I'm going to lock Zeke Elliott, and then who are you locking on Thanksgiving Day?
I'd lock Kamara. There's no way. He's not blowing up.
Very good. And then the sleeper for me on Turkey Day, we talked about this guy, Michael Gallup. I just think, I think he's the way I'm going to go. What about you on Turkey Day?
I think Bruce Ellington's a sneaky play. If the Lions get behind, they're going to be throwing the ball a lot. And, you know, he's min salary on DK and pretty cheap on FanDuel. So,
fantastic. So we move on to Sunday. Give us the fade of all fades on Sunday.
Sunday fade. I'm going to throw out the Josh Adams fade. Maybe it's just because I'm an Eagles fan and I'm hearing chatter about him. But, you know, it's people are always looking for the next running back, and he's not your answer.
Yeah. For me, my fade on the Sunday slate, like I said, is it's going to be Lamar Jackson. I think a lot of people are going to really gravitate towards that, see the rushing upside. Even against the Raiders, I just don't like putting all my eggs in the basket, and we talked about his pricing. For me, the lock and the main slate, Josh Gordon. We talked all the reasons why it's his time to shine in New England. So what about you, a lock for the main slate?
I like the Andrew Luck lock. He's getting it done, and they've got a really a terrible opponent in the Dolphins who are limping through their season.
Yeah, he should be able to eat very much there. And then my sleeper on the main slate, Christian Kirk from the Cardinals. You know, his time is about to be now. I mean, Larry Fitzgerald is obviously winding it down here, and the future is now with Christian Kirk. What about you for a sleeper on the Sunday main slate?
Main slate sleeper. I'm at a loss on this one.
Okay. We talked about Njoku, and we talked about, you know, the guys in the Oakland-Baltimore game. Maybe Edwards. What about Edwards?
Nah, not for the sleeper of the week. I think that's a stretch too far. I'm going to go Cortland Sutton.
There we go.
He's got the skill set to beat that Steelers secondary.
I think you're right, so... All right, Mike, anything else on this holiday edition of the Fantasy Fade Route?
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving, guys, and enjoy Turkey Day and some Thanksgiving football.
Exactly, and happy Thanksgiving to you, Mike, and again to all of our listeners. Hope you enjoy a lot of DFS success on this holiday. Spend it with your loved ones and those around you, and enjoy a lot of football and rest and relaxation. We'll talk to you next week for week 13 as the season is about to wrap up. So for Mike, I'm Quaffo. Enjoy Thanksgiving, enjoy week 12, and we'll talk to you next week.